السلام عليكم، كيف الحال؟
The recording began.
In tonight's shiur, we'll continue to plummet the depths of the Mishnah in Simen Kuf Nun Hei, a simen that is under the rubric of Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, and the specific title, Leilech Beis HaKnesses the Beis HaMedrash. In the last two shiurim, we spoke about the importance of communal Torah learning, Haskes Ushma Yisrael, two different covenants, the Bris of Sinai, the Bris of Arvus Moav. Yesterday we focused on the importance of learning Tanakh that's mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah. We discussed as well the din of Kviyas Itim LaTorah, the way the Rambam formulates it in Hilchos Avodah. Rambam seems to have a dichotomy: one, the intellectual aspect of Talmud Torah; the other, the experiential, the Kviyas Itim. The Rambam there speaks about Rina Shel Torah, Dafka Rov Chachmaso Shel Odom BaTorah BaLaila. Kumi roni balayla the rosh hashmuros shivchi kamayin libech nochach bnei Hashem. So I want to now, in this third shiur in Simen Kuf Nun Hei, first initially develop a bit more the value, the importance of Tanakh. We mentioned yesterday that the Gaon and many others who surrounded the Vilna Gaon, his brother, the Mechutna of the Gaon, the Chayodam, we mentioned from Rabban Kotler Zatzal and many others, that the Gaon contended that literally Kol HaTorah Kula is embedded in Tanakh. Tanakh is the makor, the source for everything. Ad kidei kach, I saw that the Vilna Gaon has in his Ramazim of Torah Shebichsav that just like in Aseres HaDibros Kol HaTorah Kula is included, so too Shiras HaAzino encompasses Kol HaTorah Kula Al Taryag Mitzvos Teha. When the pasuk says at the end of Dvarim, Vayichal Moshe L'daber Es Kol HaDvarim Ha'ele Al Bnei Yisrael, so the Gaon compares that Loshen Es Kol HaDvarim to the language as found in the beginning of Aseres HaDibros, Vayidaber Elokim Es Kol HaDvarim Ha'ele. The Gaon sees a contrast between the Aseres HaDibros, which, as I mentioned, the name of Rabsad Yigon, Rashi quotes in the Chumash, that Aseres HaDibros more or less compilates all Tayag mitzvos, and the Vilna Gaon contended that Shiras HaAzino has in that as well the same idea. I saw the Gaon points out in Aderes Elio that in Parshas HaAzino there are Tuf Reish Yud Gimel Tevos, 613 words, and each Teva is Meramis to another mitzvah. And he writes over there, V'hamaskul Yovin. And it's fascinating that there's a well-known story, I think it's quoted initially in the Kavod Yashar. I heard this from Rabbi Mamon many years ago. There's a story that is told about the Ramban and one of his Talmidim, whose name was Abner. And this Abner, unfortunately, he went off the derech, he went off the path, the derech HaTorah. And so the Kavod Yashar quotes on the Ramban that, and this is mentioned explicitly by the Ramban in his Perash Al HaTorah, the Parshas HaAzino essentially encapsulates the history of Klal Yisrael from the beginning all the way to the end of time, to the end of days. It has in all the mitzvahs, all of Jewish history, Kol Inyani HaOlam, and it's all nirmaz in Parshas HaAzino. Of course, one needs tremendous siyata d'shmaya to uncover it, lefaneach, in order to do the pinuach, to actually see the minutia, the detail. So the Ramban in Parshas HaAzino writes the following, and it could very well be that the Vilna Gaon based himself on this Ramban. The Ramban says, "Yini Ashira Azos, Asher Hibonu Le'ed Emes V'Nemon, Tagid Kol Amotzos Olsonu Bebeur." That this Shira essentially contains, in a nutshell, all Jewish history, and he refers to a Chazal, a Sifrei, Dola Shira Zos Sheesh Ba'Achshav V'Yesh Ba L'Shaavar V'Yesh Ba L'Asilavo. Past, present, and future all coalesce in Shiras HaAzino. V'yesh ba ba'ilam hazeh, v'yesh ba la'ilam haba. And the Ramban says, "V'ilo ha'isa ashira zos michtav echad me'achozim bekochavim." If a expert in astrology would have written such a letter, "Hayaroy lahamin ba mibnei sheniskayimu kol dvarim adheina lo nafal davar echad." Ramban says, the Pashto of Hazino, every single element of it was mekuyim till now, because it includes kol ha'Torah kula, v'al ha'Torah kula. So here we have literally the entire Torah, all Ramuz, Dafka, in the Shira of Hazinu. So that's the Yesod of the Vilna Gaon that I mentioned. And it's fascinating that I heard in the name of a number of Gedolei Yisrael, they cited the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells us that every Jew is obligated to write a Sefer Torah. Many Rishonim indicate that one can fulfill that mitzvah by purchasing Sfarim. So that's how many of us fulfill that mitzvah, don't necessarily have a Sefer Torah written. But the Gemara says that Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, Amad Aleph, Afal Pishei Nicholo Avosel Le'odim Sefer Torah, Mitzvah Lichto Mishalom. Even though I inherited a Sefer Torah, I'm still obligated to write my own. So the question is, how is it possible the pasuk is talking about the Shira of Hazino? And yet the Gemara says there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, and the Gemara bases this on this pasuk. How do we learn out from this pasuk the obligation to write an entire Sefer Torah? So the Lashon HaRambam, which I mentioned already, when the Rambam cites this halacha of writing a Sefer Torah, he writes in Perek Zayin Hilchos Sefer Torah, halacha Aleph, Kisu lechem Torah, sheyesh bo shira zo. That's how the Rambam interprets the pasuk. The obligation to write a Sefer Torah that contains within it the shira. So since the shira sazino, based on the Goyin and based on the understanding of the Ramban, is kolel, kol ha'Torah kula, and taryag tevo seho, the 613 words of hazino are a remez to all taryag mitzos. So what emerges with that kisu lachemas hashira azos, in effect, is kol ha'Torah kula. So that's, again, a very beautiful idea, which is based on this Ramban, and based on the Vilna Gaon's understanding of the Ramban. As a matter of fact, I also heard from a number of rabbeim of mine that this notion, this idea that everything is Ramuz in Parshas Hazino, and people actually even wanted to know that where do we see all these Ramazim? And so there are many, many different stories that are told, actually, including by a moment ago, the Ramban had a Talmud who went off to Derech, and he indicated that his name Abner is also Ramuz in the Torah, and the Ramuz there in Parshas Hazino, in the nether side of Klal Yisrael. And v'chahina v'chahina, there are many, many such Ramazim. Anyway, I just want to read to you again. I saw in a sefer, Rabbi Leo Rogala, he's a Talmud of Chaim Volozhiner. So he writes in the sefer Yad Eliyahu a letter to his son-in-law, and he says the following: Shetilmo b'chol yom v'yom shir kavua b'chumash in Rashi poshut davka. Every day you should learn chumash in Rashi, b'lishu mefarshi Rashi klal, without the super commentaries on Rashi. V'lachzor hashir chumash b'amin, and you should review it 5 times. Because the most important element of limud is learning Tanakh. As a result of the psukim, that will jigger your memory, and you'll, in the course of learning psukim, review all the midrashim of Chazal in Chas. The ashrei mishalom mitchumish upsukim. Happy is the person actually who focuses on Chamish Chumshei Torah, who learns Tanakh, and obviously at the same time, the way the Netziv and others explain, one has to learn the Mashrim of Chazal simultaneously. And it's fascinating that my Rebbe, Hagoyin Nisim Albert Zatzal, very fond of a Sefer that is not so well used. The Sefer called Revit Azov. Revit Azov is a Sefer written by Rav Dov Ber Torosh. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon in the days of the Gaon. And essentially what he does is he wants to show how all the mikoros that are found in Chazal for dinim and Torah Shavapeh are Romus in Torah Shavichzal. This is exactly the same yisod of the Vilna Gaon that I've been mentioning, and this is the yisod of the Ramban as well. And really, one could see all this in a very famous comment of Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin actually, and his entire entourage, who are Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, so they're very fond, actually. There's a well-known sefer called Sifra Ditzniusa. In the Sifra Ditzniusa, they're also a very beautiful sefer, and he writes, I'll just cite one or two small k'tayim from there, Bahaklau. Ki kol ma shehoya v'hoive b'yir ad oylam hakol kolu batera. Mibreishis ad eini kol yisrael. Literally, everything that happened, that presently is taking place, and that will happen in the future, it's all embedded in Torah. Torah Shebichsav, the Chumash, from Breishis to the end of Sefer Dvarim. V'lo aklolim bilvad, elo afilu protav shel kol min b'min v'shel kol adam b'frat. Literally, the life of every species, of every human being, kol mashe'imer, iralo miyom hivoldo atsofo, kol gilgulav, kol protav, upirte protav. And the same thing applies to every bal chai. Kol esev, itzomeach, v'domein. Everything is rashum in the Torah. So, clearly, Rishonim, Gdoli Achronim, understood somehow that HaKol Romus B'Torah Shebichsav. And as I mentioned, there were many who wanted to know where the names were found in the Torah Shebichsav. I mentioned just a moment ago, Abner, the Talmud, Shehidiach Tavshilo, that went off the Derech, and the Gaon told him, the Ramban, and told him that his name is also Romus in Hazino. In the Pasuk, Amarti Afeyem, Ashbisa me'eno zichram. The word afayim has an aleph. Ashbisa is the base. Me'enosh is the nun. Zichram is the resh. The moment he heard that, he was thunderstruck. Absolutely. And the story is told that Ola al Sfina, and essentially his life ended. And this is also quoted actually in a number of different places. The Vilna Gaon himself was asked, I believe by either one of his Talmidim, where is his name found in Chumash? And the Gaon actually ended this question very simply on the spot and said, there's a pasuk in Chumash. The Torah says, Eben Shlema Batzedek Yielach, Eifo Shlema Batzedek Yielach, Aleph Ben Shlomo, Eben Shlema is Eliyahu, that's the Aleph, Ben Beis Nun, Shlomo. So it's right there in the text. Matter of fact, one of the Svarim of the Gaon, Yadua and Midos, is called Eben Shlema. And of course, the Gaon was asked further, and apparently he answered this question as well. Why is his name somehow hidden in the letter Aleph alone? Because the letters of Aleph are also Osios Pele, Pei Lamed Aleph, Al Shem Dovra Pele, Shem Ne'elam. And the Gaon's Torah was also Nister, was very much hidden. And so that is exactly the remez as well for the Vilna Gaon. And these remozim that are found throughout Chumash, and essentially the study of Tanakh is literally Yesodei HaYesodos. I think they asked, if I'm not mistaken, they asked Chassam Sofer, who held the same Yesod. They asked him, where's the Rambam mentioned in the Torah? Where's he mentioned? And right away on the spot he said, the Pasuk says, Leman Revos Mofsai Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Revos is Resh, Mofsai Mem, Beis is Be Eretz, Mem of Mitzrayim, Rashi Tevos, Rambam. Rambam, of course, lived in Mitzrayim, and that was the Remez, said the Chassam Sofer, I believe, to the Rambam being found in Chumash. So I guess all of us have to find our own names, where they are Romus, somehow in the Chumash. And it's an amazing, this Yesod of the Ramban and the Yesod of the Vilna Gaon, that literally Hafochba v'hafochba dekulaba. So generally we understand that as referring to Torah Shebal Peh. And unquestionably it's true. As the Pasuk says in Eov, that the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law, is undoubtedly Aruka me'eretz midah rechava min hayam. It's wide, it's expansive, it's vast. But this also applies to the Torah itself. This Yesod, and the Yesod is really the Yesod of Teras Hashem Temimah, Meshivas Nafesh. It is one complete whole, unified Sefer, the Shleimus of the Torah, the Achdus of the Torah. And I'll just be Messiah in this short section when I speak about Tanakh because of the Mishnah Berurah, who indicated that one is obligated to learn every day. And the first item was Tanakh, and then Mishnah, and then Gemara and Poskim. Why is Tanakh mentioned first? One could argue this is Lafi HaSeder. But one could also argue Shehakol Ramuz B'Tanakh. Everything is found there, according to the Ramban, according to the Goyin. The Archaim HaKadosh has the same Yesod. He has it in Vayikra, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Says the Archaim HaKadosh. Ha'odom Baruch Hu, Hashem Yisbarach, B'chochmaso Yisbarach, Rosham B'Torah Shebichsav, Kol Torah Shebalpeh Shomal Moshe. Exactly the same Yesod. The entire Torah Shebalpeh is Ramuz, is alluded to in the Torah Shebichsav. Avolo Hodiyah LeMoshe, Kol Mashenasa LeBalpeh, Heichon Hu Ramuz B'Torah Shebichsav. Except he didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu where exactly it's to be found. Vizui avodas b'nei Yisrael, amalei Torah. That's our job. That's our function. Namely, that we examine the Torah very, very carefully, the Torah Shebichsav, and we're able to uncover, we're able to somehow ferret out all the Torah Shebalpeh. And he writes, ve'achareim barayom zui avodas hakodesh b'nei Torah. The Archaim HaKodesh. This is our responsibility. This is our function. This wasn't given only to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is how he interprets the Gemara in Menachos, a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara tells us about Akiva. Came to see the Beis Medrash of Moshe Rabbeinu, and somehow Moshe Rabbeinu came to see the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, and he darshened rushes that Moshe Rabbeinu was not aware of. Ein hakavana, says the Archaim HaKadosh, shelo yoda Moshe ikron shel dvarim. Halo mimenu hakol. Afilu mashe talmid vosik asu lechadesh. But what was not known is the fact that where exactly everything is ramuz in the Torah Shebichsav. That was not necessarily known to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, we are given Mokam Hinichu Lanu Lizgadir. We're given the opportunity to uncover, to ferret out the Torah Shebalpeh that's found in Torah Shebichsav. And that's really a function of obviously learning Tanakh in a proper kind of way and learning it B'daikonis. As I mentioned, I was Zoche a number of times to hear.
The Makar for the Vayikra, the Orachayim, where in Vayikra?
Vayikra Yugimel Lamed Zayin.
Thank you.
I was like a number of times to hear the Goyin, Moron, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, at Torah Masorah Conventions, that educational network organization, and he always spoke on Tanakh. And I saw that he was able literally to count Kol Oisya Shebatera. So that is a very important mandate that the Mishnah Berurah is telling us, the obligation to learn every day. This is the Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Nun Hei, Sifkot and Gimel, Torah Shebichsav, Shu Tanakh. And then it follows upon the heels of that Mishnah, Gemara, Poskin. But essentially, all of that has its mokar in Tanakh. And so therefore, we have to learn Tanakh exceedingly carefully, assiduously, industriously, with great diyukin that we should make actually in Tanakh. That's item number one. I'm continuing plumbing the depths of Siman Kuf Nun Hei and showing you the depths of the Mishnah Berurah, the most astounding sefer one could possibly find. Mr. Brewer tells us another very famous yesod, which already is discussed by many. He tells us in Sifkot and Dalin, when the Mechaber said that a person should be koveya asman for limud Torah and make sure that time is fixed. As the Rambam pointed out in Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Ches, the mitzvah is to be koveya itim Torah. Mr. Brewer says one cannot chas v'sholom under any circumstances be mevater on that period of time. And then he writes, the beginning of Sifkot and Dalet, which is right in front of you on the screen, or if you have a Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Dalet and Kuf Nun Hei, the Ikar Mitzvah Talmud Torah Ein Lashir, B'chiyuvah Hu Kol Hayom, Kol Zman She'esh Lo Pnai. A very fascinating statement in the Mishnah Berurah. One should be focused on the study of Torah as long as one has time. That is to say, the Mashmos of this Mishnah Berurah seems to be that there are obviously obligations all of us have, namely eating, drinking, sleeping, making panasa, supporting our families, being mechanech our children, spending time with them. All these are obligations. But those obligations constitute exemptions from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So when I'm not involved in any of the above and I have extra time, it should be devoted to the study of Torah. Mishnah Berurah then quotes the pasuk in Yehoshua Perek Aleph Kedichsev, Lo yomu sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha, v'gisa v'yom v'layla. And if chas v'sholom, a person has time and is mevatel from Talmud Torah, meretzono, then Rachmano Litzlan, Mishnah Berurah cites a number of statements in Chazal that this individual is considered to be someone who's in violating a very fundamental principle, namely that he is, in effect, being mevazeh, the Torah, by not being osik by Torah. And eslas Hashem eferu Torah secha, and therefore one should make sure that one has a fixed amount of time to learn, and one should not be mevater on that fixed amount of time. I heard in 1973 from my Rebbe, Hagoyin Moran Haras Soloveitchik Zatzal, we made a siyum on the first paragraph of Maseches Chulin, and in that siyum he said something which ad hayom hazeh resounds in my mind and in my heart. Tesis writes in Brochus and Daf Yud Aleph from Abayis, he asks a kasha which is asked by many Rishonim. Rishonim are wondering why is it that when it comes to the mitzvah of Brichas HaTorah, we say it once a day, namely in the morning, and that bracha somehow covers us the entire day. And the next day, we say it again, on a daily basis. However, the mitzvah of Sukkah, the Torah said, Basukah Teshu Shivas Yomim, we sit in the Sukkah, and then we leave the Sukkah, and then when we come back a few hours later for another meal, we make another bracha in the Sukkah. So the question is, why is there a distinction? In the case of Sukkah, the assumption is that automatically there's a Hesech Hadas, that one has diverted one's intention, and that is mechayev a person a new bracha. So why is it that Birchas HaTorah is only recited once? I say a bracha in the morning, I daven, I learn, I'm yotzei, the way the Gemara says, shekvanitza v'ahava rabba, and according to the Yerushalmi, hu sheshon al asar, you learn right away, that's exactly this simen, kuf nun hei, the moment I finish davening, I'm kovei itim la'Torah, then I go to work, or I do other things, perhaps I learn the whole day, so assuming I learn the entire day, that I understand, there's no esek hadas. But I who do not learn the entire day, so there are plenty of moments of esek hadas. So the question is, why should I not make Brichas HaTorah when I once again go back to learning? Why is it different than Sukkah? So Tosfos answers, and here's the language of Tosfos. The Yeshlomer the Shiny Torah, She'eino Miyayish Daito. Tosfos seems to say there's no Hesech Hadas in Limud HaTorah. The Kol Sho Oda Mechuyav Lomod, Dichsiv V'Hagisav Yom V'Layla. He quotes that Pasuk in Yeshua, Perek Aleph, which is the Rambam's Mokar, for being Kovei to Torah. That one is obligated every moment to learn Torah. V'havi Kimo Yoshev Kol Hayom B'lo Hefsek. And therefore, there's no Hesech Hadas. However, this is in contradistinction to Sukkah, says Tosfos. Achila B'Sukkah Yesho Kvua. I ate one meal, and then I left for a number of hours, and then I come back, and then I make another bracha, Leishir Basukah, and then again, I leave the sukkah for a number of hours, and again, make a bracha, Leishir Basukah. What's the distinction between the two? Offhand, Tosfos seems to be saying a very fundamental distinction. What exactly does he have in mind? So my Rebbe answered that Tosfos seems to say, as I indicated, that when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, leaving the sukkah is a hesech hadas. And therefore, automatically, every time I leave, there's a chiyuv of a new bracha. However, with reference to Talmud Torah, there's no hesech hadas. But it seems there is a hesech hadas. I'm involved in other matters. I'm preoccupied. So Rav Soloveitchik said, Tzvei dinim in hesech hadas. There are two different types, two different genre of hesech hadas. The first he called an acute awareness. And the second he called a latent awareness. Acute awareness means when I am literally involved in something, I am aware of what's happening. That's an acute awareness. And then there's a latent awareness. I'm not directly involved in that activity, but obviously in the back of my mind, in the recesses of my heart, somehow lurking in the background, there is an awareness, but it's not an acute awareness. It's not one that's in front of me. Moshel Amad Davidomer is the moshel that I heard from Harav Soloveitchik. A mother takes her child to school. So I remember that when we first took our children to school many years ago, so my wife Shlita requested that I accompany her. So together we take the little Tatala. We took him to school, not exactly at the young age as they do in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem here in Eretz Yisrael. Among the thousand reasons, Kvod Harav Shlita, to make Aliyah is exactly this also. This is included among the thousand reasons. That's why I hope Hashem gives me Arichas Yom B'Shanim so I can list over all the reasons. It'll take me quite a while. But among the reasons is that young children, literally, you see young children walking in the street, they're barely 2 years old, they're schlepping a pekala, a tick they have on their backs that's bigger than they are. And it's the most amazing thing just to watch. And it's the most beautiful thing, the most inspiring thing that I find when I see it all the time, including with my own grandchildren and with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So mother and father come to the cheder, they come to the school, and in effect, once they come there, so 15 minutes passes, and the father says, I think it's time to leave. We have to get about our business, do that which we have to do. And the mother says, no, a few more minutes, we have to stay. Let's make sure everything is in order. Make sure the tatala is not traumatized by the ganenet or whomever is doing the teaching over there. You never know what could happen. It could affect the persons for life. And the way they talk today, maybe might even affect their shidduchim, who knows what. Whatever the case is, so we're worried about trauma. So we stay there, half hour. The ganenet sees what's going on, and she's clearly disturbed by the presence of foreigners who are interfering with her ability to do that which she has to do. So she simply covers the pane of glass on the window, or she closes the door. She does something to be merameh, is that, okay, he has man, let me do my thing, you do your thing, you go on your merry way, I go on my merry way. And of course, the father is quite happy, Baruch Hashem. And I don't want to go so far as to say that he recites a bracha, Bolo Shem Malchus, Bolo Shem Tarani, just finished the sentence. Hopefully not. But that's more or less the Matthias. The mother somehow is not able to disconnect. She just can't do it. So she remains there. And even finally, when she's compelled to leave, so the distinction between the mother and the father, said Rav Soloveitchik, is the following. The mother is, at this point, not acutely aware of her child because she's left. She had no choice. She had no brera. The father, there's a shayla, but even had acute awareness of the child. B'shas maisa. That's also yesh makom li'stapek. But the mother certainly had that acute awareness, and now she has the latent awareness. That latent awareness never leaves. Never. B'shum panim ovim. Not for a second is the mother masiach das from her child, from the little tatala, from the little mamala. That latent awareness remains throughout her life, can never be extinguished. It's expressed in commitment, in devotion, a feeling of identification, a feeling that she and her baby are one. The infant is the center of gravity of a mother's life. She can't live without the child. Hopefully the father has some connection to the child, minimally acute awareness, and hopefully some latent awareness as well. That's Rav Soloveitchik. I'm simply citing what he said when we made a siyum on the first paragraph of Chulin. So the Rav said, this is the pshat in Tesis. Shaini Torah, sheinu meyayish daitam. The same is true with regards to Torah. It's true, there's not always an acute awareness of the Torah for 24 hours a day. That's sometimes impossible. We have all types of obligations and commitments. We have to work, we have to make panasa, we have to interact with people, but chas v'sholom, there's never a latent awareness that ceases to be. God forbid, Rachmanu Litzlan, the pasuk, v'gisa v'yom v'layla, forbids and enjoins us against this continuity of awareness of Torah. Chas v'sholom, there's never any latent awareness hasar hadas in Torah. So even though the acute awareness may not be there, but the latent awareness is always there. That's what Tesis means when he says, Shaini Torah, she'inam yayish daito. And Rav Soloveitchik thought that perhaps a raya to this would be the fact that the Machlokes will be shown him what the Nusach HaBracha is. Is the Nusach HaBracha, as we Ashkenazim say, Lasak b'divrei Torah? The Rif and the Rambam have a girsa al divrei Torah, kayadua. But the Nusach of the Ashkenazim, Lasok b'divrei Torah, doesn't say Lil Mo Torah. It says Lasok. And Lasok means even where we're mentally involved with something else, there's a hisaskus, bidvar macherim, but that latent awareness is always there, is always operative. Chas v'sholom, just as a person is always aware of his existence, a person doesn't have to walk around saying, I exist, I exist, I exist. We're not Descartes. So we don't have to say that on an ongoing kind of basis. We know we exist. So too, the awareness of Torah should become an integral part of my eye awareness of who I am. If the bracha were only lilmud Torah and related only to a cognitive act of studying Torah, then any discontinuity of the acute awareness of Torah would require erechanami, a new bracha. Each time I approach the matter, I reapproach it, I'd be mechuyev to make another bracha. Just as there's a bracha for sukkah, is repeated with each new entry into the sukkah. You're aware that the briskas and the minhag agroh, the bracha is made on the knis of the sukkah. The moment I enter the sukkah, I make a bracha leishiv basukkah. But v'hagisa yom yom alayla refers not only to the actual study of Torah, but to the mitzvah of the latent awareness of Torah, the isur of hesach hadas. One is not allowed to be masiach das in Torah. There's an isur. Higayon doesn't only mean thinking in the sense of pure, intellectual, detached kind of thought. It refers to a deeply felt longing and questing. As I mentioned yesterday, when we discussed the experiential element of Torah that's found in the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, the obligation, Bein Oni, Bein Osher, Bein Sholim, Bein Bal Yisurin, is obligated to be Koveitim LaTorah Yom V'Layla. There's an experiential element. The awareness of the appreciation of Torah is the highest value. And as we say in the Siyum, when we make a Siyum, Daitan Aloch, V'Daitan Alon. Our latent awareness, we're committed to you, Torah. And we hope you won't forget us as well. You helped in Masechta, and the Daf Hayomi is, I heard, in the process of almost finishing Maseches Erevin, which is enormous, remarkable kind of accomplishment. I'm not a Daf Yomi person, but undoubtedly when we say that, we hope that Maseches Erevin will keep us in mind, and we should see the Torah as the closest friend that we have. And more la chochma achisiyat. View the chochma as your sister, and the Torah will watch over us. The Gemara is not simply a plain text. The Gemara is a living personality. We should feel committed to defend the Rambam and the Ramban. Torah is something which is an eineg. It inspires us. There's a feeling of joy, of having something precious, of having a treasure that's absolutely distinctive and unique. And Talmud Torah is exactly in the same gather. So in effect, what Tosfos is suggesting is what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. He doesn't spell it out. But this is clearly the intent of the Mishnah Berurah. And there's a very famous tshuva, Rabbi Baruch Be'er, the Birch HaShmuel and Kedushin. At the end of his Chidushim HaKedushin, he also spells out this yesod, this idea, namely that any spare moment that a person has, one should be involved in the study of Torah. Continuing to plummet the depths of Simin Kuf Nun Hei in the Mishnah Berurah, there's a fascinating din that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and offhand, the mocker for this din is not so readily apparent. We're familiar with the Gemara in Brachas, all of us. Kol HaKoveh Mokom L'Tfiloso Elokei Avraham Yezo. Tfiyas Mokom L'Tfilo is very important. As a matter of fact, I asked many years ago, Agoyin Rav Levinsohn Shlita, I know a number of people who live in Yerushalayim. There's one of the many milas of living in Ramat Beit Shemesh or living in an area where there's a kehila, a concept of a shul. Here we have a president. He's always the president. L'Dori Doros. Even though he may have stepped down for, in a formal kind of sense, but he's still there. And so that concept of a kehila is really a wonderful concept. So I met people who live in Yerushalayim. Friday night, they daven in one shul. Shabbos morning in a second shul. This one davens Basikin. Shabbos afternoon, Mincha davens in a third shul. And Motzei Shabbos davens in the fourth shul. So I told him, the Gemara says, Kol HaKaveh Mokom L'Tfiloso Elokei Avraham Be'ezo. And when he passes on, the Gemara has a wonderful expression, Hey Ono, Hey Chosi, Mitamidu Shavram Avino. So Kviyas Mokom Mitzvilah is a very significant halacha. Where's your Kviyas Mokom? So he was sort of taken aback by the question. When I was in Yerushalayim for Shabbos, one of the Shabbosim, so I actually accompanied him. So I thought he was going to daven in the same shul the entire Shabbos. We went to a different minyan for each tefillah. So I asked him this question. And so he told me I should ask the question to Hagoyin Rav Levinsohn Shlita. I then, Motzei Shabbos, called up Hagoyin Rav Levinsohn and asked him. And he told me that his Rebbe, Maran HaRav, he never called Rav Shlomo Zalman by his name. We are friendly with Rav Shlomo Zalman, so we speak about him, B'yedidus. But he, mitoich emosoi of his Rebbe, he calls him Maran HaRav Zatzal. He said, Maran HaRav Zatzal, Paskin, you could be koveh mokom for each tefillah. That's also called the Kriyas Mokom. And so therefore, it's not a stira, it's not a kasha. But the reason why I'm mentioning this, because the Mishnah Berurah quotes here in Sifkot and Vav, when the Mechaber says, he mentions the din of leaving shul, Yelech lebeis hamedrash v'yikba eis lilmod. So the Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sifkot and Vav, even if you don't understand what people are learning, I'm going to get to that mitzvah Hashem probably in the next year. Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, ha'ikva bebeis hamedrash mitzvahi. Just being in the environs of bebeis hamedrash itself constitutes a mitzvah. So if one can understand the shir that's being said in halacha in agada, one should be koveya lishmoa v'yalala bimkom limud. And if one is listening to whatever shir is being said, that's the proper thing to do. My father, Hashem, taught me, he tried to teach me, not always successfully, that whenever one is in a shul, in a bes medrash, and someone's saying a shir, that's what one should be doing. One should be listening to the shir of the rav or whomever is saying the shir, unless one is in an extraordinary difficult situation, then one should ask the individual for permission to leave. That's called the acharetz. I remember when I was a youngster, very, very young, I must have been 7 or 8 years old, I davened in a shul in the Bronx where the rav was a Holocaust survivor. A rav, Yekusiel Fuchs, zechet tzadik b'kadosh livracha, he lost his entire family in the Holocaust, his wife and a fair number of children. He came to the shores of America, and Baruch Hashem, he was able to marry a younger, much younger woman. There was over to one child, and that child, Baruch Hashem, has many children. And Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Yibon Hashem, Baruch Hashem, maintained the Netzach of this mishpacha. So he was a fantastic Talmud Chacham. He learned in Baranovich, with Agoyim of Achad of Asimin. He was a chabusa, actually, of a number of great Gedolei Yisrael. And so it was a shul with very nice balabatin, but mostly people didn't have the background of those that are right in front of me on the screen right now. I'm talking to a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, Bnei Torah, and he didn't have that. He had regular balabatim, but didn't have much background. So Ben Asmanim, there were yeshivas then as well, and there was also something called Ben Asmanim. And so from time to time, Ben Asmanim, a number of yeshiva bachim would come, and he said, wow, now I have the opportunity to Baruch Hashem speak to a group of Bnei Torah, and he looked forward to it. And I remember the first time, I must have been about 7 or 8 years old, and these Bachrim came, and he was saying a shir, and they took out these big Vilna Shasses and started learning while he was saying a shir. And I saw he was distraught. He was absolutely beside himself. And then afterwards, I was actually very close to him from a very young age, from the age of 7 or 8 years old. He showed me in the Chafetz Chaim, in the Sefer of the Chafetz Chaim, that is called Lashon Hara. When a Bachur takes out a Gemara, and someone is speaking, besides the lack of Derech Eretz, it's also Lashon Hara. Essentially, you're saying that that person has nothing to offer me, and so why should I bother listening? I'd rather learn a Blat Gemara. I was astounded by that. I actually, if I remember correctly, attempted to contend with him at the age of 7 and 8, which was pretty silly. But whatever the case is, he was a man who knew Kalashas in his right pocket, in his left pocket. He basically had it all there. I think Bavli was in one pocket. I think Yerushalmi was in the other pocket. And in his shirt pocket was Dal Chag HaShulchan Aruch. So this gentleman indicated, showed me the Chafetz Chaim, that's an act of Lashon Hara. So the Mishnah Berurah says something here, which I want to speak about. Mishnah Berurah says that even someone who doesn't have a lot of Havana, he should come to shul, listen to Divrei Torah, and he'll get a schus to be sitting, Menach HaChom Losid Lovo, Ozim Shomas, Tochach HaChayim, Bekerem HaChom Tolin. And then he writes in Sifkot Zayin, Yikva lo mokom. So, Kviyas mokom, Mishnah Berurah now is Mechadish, Kviyas mokom in the Beis Medrash. Now, that's not his Chiddush. That's already mentioned in the Mechaber. Yelech Beis HaMedrash, V'yikva eis lilmo. But Tzorech Odom likva Torasa Beis HaMedrash, V'shom yelo mokom kavu al the Torah. It sounds like the same halacha that's in Hilchos Tefila. The din is in Hilchos Tefila, one is supposed to be koveya, a shul that one davens in. And secondarily, in that shul, one should be koveya mokom. That's a din in Shulchan. Of course, there's many discussions, as you undoubtedly know, and this also is an important halacha that we should be aware of. Sometimes we come late to shul, and someone sits in our seat. So when you arrive on the scene and the person is there, you should not remove him. You should not throw him out of his seat or out of your seat. There's a concept of chazaka b'sakneses. These are sugis in ba'avasa, b'cheskas abatim, b'cheskas mokom. But clearly, on a one-time basis, you should be machnis and oreach. You should try to welcome people who are new, who don't live there, who come as guests, and don't try to exercise your cheska sabbatim rights, even though it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, actually. One has to try to utilize whatever the acheretz one could possibly muster, and hopefully a lot of the derechads can be mustered. But this idea of being koveya makom in a Beis Medrash, I understand that the Beis Medrash or the Beis Knesset should be a makom. But inside the Beis Knesset, where there's a din in Shulchan Aruch, kol koveya makom litzilaso, mashpah from the Mishnah Berurah, a similar din applies in the Beis Medrash. Once you have a kriyas makom where one learns, just like there's a kriyas makom for tefillah, there's a kriyas makom in Beis Medrash. There's a Yerushalmi, the Rambam calls this Yerushalmi in Hilchos Talmud Torah, that a person who learns in Beis Medrash, so there's a haftocha that he will not forget his learning. But where did the Mishnah Berurah come up with this idea of kriyas makom in a Beis Medrash for Talmud Torah? So this needs tzorach iyun. It requires actually some examination. I'm not going to do it right now because I want to discuss, and this is what I will expect to spend some time on the rest of the shiur, if possible. Mishnah Berurah speaks about another very significant halacha, namely, even if one doesn't understand what one is learning, one should still go, because we're talking about a person in Sitkot Ches she'ein lo ela schar halicha. There's something called schar halicha. This already is discussed by Poskim. If there are two shuls and I walk to the shul furthest away, I get schar halicha. Doesn't mean that's what one should do. You have to daven in a shul where you feel comfortable, where you feel your tefillah actually is going to be ideal. But this idea of schar halicha, going to a shul, where does it come from? So I always thought that the makar is really psukim in Parshas Re'eh. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh has the following comment. It says, when it speaks about the Beis Hamikdash, ki imel ha-mokar mashivcha Hashem alokechem mikol shivtechem losim eshmo sham l'shichno sidrushu uvasa shama. What a pasuk. L'shichno sidrushu, to seek out the shechina uvasa shama. The term l'shichno sidrushu is very striking. Some explain it in the sense of the pasuk in Bereishis vis-a-vis Rivka, namely this week's parsha. Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem. She, Rivka, came to daven to Hashem Yisbarach. Or you also have a pasuk in Yisrael with reference to Moshe Rabbeinu and his interaction with his father-in-law. Ki yavo elai ha'am lidrosh Elokim. Now, the term l'shichno sidrushu means when you have to address your tefillos to where Hashem Yisbarach dwells, sidrushu is similar also what the Navi Hoshea writes in Shabbat Shuva, Dirshu Hashem bihimatzo, kra'u biyoso karov. L'shichno sidrushu is a din. There's a halacha. V'ispalu le'lecha derech artzom. The Rambam actually, in Perek Dal Hilchos Tefillah, halacha Gimel, formulates this halacha in the following way. He writes, Hayomei b'chutz aretz, machzim ponem neuchach Eretz Yisrael u'mispalel. If someone is outside Eretz Yisrael, you should face Eretz Yisrael. Hayomei b'aretz, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, directionally, you should be towards Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, you face the Makom HaMikdash. So this is the significance of the Shichna Sidrushu Vasa Shama. Ad Kidei Kach, with the Rambam Paskes in Hilchos Tefillah, V'akol Yehu Mispalim Nocha HaMikdash B'chol Makom She'yeh. Everyone should daven facing the Makom HaMikdash, no matter where he is. V'chein Hoya Adav Tamid. Moshe Rabbeinu at Ezra. Historically, this was the case from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till Ezra. So I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, he said this Rambam appears to seem to contend and hold, not only is tefillah itself a chiyuv d'oraisa, famous machlok is the Rambam Ramban, but that also the halacha of facing the side of the Mikdash is also a chiyuv d'oraisa. L'shichno sidrushu uvasa shama is a din d'oraisa. What's the marker for that? Pashtus says the marker is this pasuk. L'shichno sidrushu uvasa shama. I'll read the Ramban. Ramban Re'eh writes beautifully, V'tam l'shichno sidrushu shetelchu me'eretz merchakin. You'll come from a distant country. V'tishalu, ono derech beis Hashem. You'll ask, where is the road leading to the house of Hashem? V'tomu isha ve'eyu. One person will say to another, L'chu v'nal el har Hashem el beis Elokei Yaakov. Let's go and ascend to the har Hashem. And then he quotes his sifrei, Tidrishu drosh al pi Navi. Namely, you will, through a Navi, you in effect will be able to seek out where the Makom HaMikdash is. Yochol tamtin achatoma lecha Navi. Maybe you should wait till the Navi tells you when and where to build it. So the Torah says, no. L'shichno sidrishu drosh umitzah. V'acharkach yom lecha Navi. You seek, you try to discover the whereabouts of the place, and then the Navi will confirm it. That's what the Ramban writes. So what is the import of the words of the Ramban? L'chora, the Ramban has formulated a fundamental principle. L'shichna shidrashu means don't wait for Hashem to show you the place. Look for it yourself. Search it out. Inquire. And then the Navi will give you a haskama. Then he'll place his imprimatur on your research. And the Ramban refers to the episode of David HaMelech. Chazal tell us that David Beis Dino tried to pinpoint the site of the Beis HaMikdash, and they finally arrived at the Maskana, the intended place was Har Moriah, and the Navi God only confirmed the decision of David HaMelech after he himself had studied all the psukim, the geography of Eretz Yisrael, and he arrived at an independent decision. That's the meaning of the Shichna Sidrashu. In other words, not only is the construction of the Beis HaMikdash important, Vasil Nimigdash V'Shachanti B'Solchan, but the search for the Mokum HaMikdash is also important. It's part of the Binyan HaMikdash. That's the concept of searching for the Shechina. And it perhaps extends as well to the mitzvah mentioned by the first Mishnah in Chagiga, the mitzvah of Bias Mikdash. Not only is Re'iyas Ponim a mitzvah, but going to the Mikdash is also a mitzvah. Searching for Kedusha constitutes a Kiyam HaMitzvah. And as the Pasuk said, L'shichna Sidrashu Uvas HaShama, there are two mitzvahs. One, the search, and two, coming to the site. And perhaps that's the meaning of the Pasuk in Micha. The Navi says, V'hoya b'achris hayomim, yiyahar beis Hashem nochon b'rosh shehorim, v'nisahu migvos, v'noru elav amim, v'olchu goyim rabim v'omru, l'chu v'nala el har Hashem, el beis Elokei Yaakov, v'yoreinu midrochov, v'nyelcha b'yor chosov. The end of days, even the nations of the world, many nations are going to come and say, let us go up to the Har Hashem, to the base of Elokei Yaakov. On those drisha, the search for Tzion is part of the mitzvah. And lichora, lefi anius daiti, this is what the Mishnah Berurah is talking about. This din applies not only to the Mikdash, but to the Beis HaMedrash as well. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, well known to us. Arba midos beholchim Beis HaMedrash. There are four different types of people who visit the Beis Medrash. One of them is called Hoylech Veinoise. Mishnah Berurah is talking about that person. He comes to the Beis Medrash. Unfortunately, he's not lettered. He has no background. He simply is without tools. But he goes, he comes to the Beis Medrash to be in the entrance, to be in the ambience, in the environment of Balabatim, Bnei Torah, of people who are learning, people who are davening, people who are trying to connect with Hashem is Barach, says the Mishnah. Holech ve'eno ise, schar halicha biyado. So there are four types of people who go to the Beis Medrash. One of them goes and doesn't learn, and yet he receives a reward for going. The question, of course, is fairly evident. I think this is the question Mishnah Berurah is addressing here in Kuf Nun Hei. If he didn't study, why should he be rewarded for coming to the Beis Medrash? The answer is the halicha is an integral part of the mitzvah. Under what mitzvah is it subsumed? L'shichna yisidrashu uvasa shama. So here the Mishnah Berurah praises the individual who may not have any background, may not necessarily be someone who is schooled in Torah study, but such a person, his intention is to connect, or to quote our Soloveitchik, as I mentioned yesterday, to have a date with the Shechina, to rendezvous with the Shechina, a romance with the Shechina, with Hashem Yisbarach. He does that through the halicha to the Beis Medrash. And even though, as the Mishnah Berurah says, he's someone who doesn't have the requisite skills, the requisite background, not only will he get the schar halicha, but by virtue of sitting there, says the Mishnah Berurah, he'll be zoche, leishe ben achachom losid lovo, shenema oizen shoymas, techach haschayim, bekerev chachomim tolim. Yitz Hashem, in the next year, we'll pursue more nuggets in this Mishnah Berurah, Simon Kuf Nun Hei, and as I said at the outset of the three shiurim ago, the Mishnah Berurah is so mali v'gadush, so much beauty. When one learns the Mishnah Berurah carefully, really one continues to see so many golden nuggets, as I just described them. And halavai, we should continue to plumb in the depths of Torah, Be'ez Hashem, all that is a kiyum of the L'shichna Sidrashu Uvas Hashem.
Thank you very much.
The Shakar. I think maybe it's